podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Come on, he's risen. And he's worthy of all our praises this morning. Resurrection Day. You know, all Christian faith is built on this. The Apostle Paul says, if he's not risen, then this preaching is in vain. But he says, but he is risen. He is risen. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. It was the final proving to everyone that was watching that he is indeed God. Yes. Leading the way. He said, I came to make a way. He said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. He said, if you watch me and follow me, I will show you the way. And he led the way, defeating the grave, defeating death. And now he beckons to everyone who we hear, come and follow me. I will show you the way. The way. The way. That's the title of this message today. It's very simple, the way. It's amazing. That's what they called before we were called Christians in Jesus' day after the resurrection. The people that followed him, they called them the way, the people of the way. He came to show the way. And I'm here this morning saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are worthy. Resurrection Day. But I want to remind you this morning, and maybe new information for some who have not yet delved into the Word of God. Jesus was not the first to be raised from the dead. Now, Jesus' resurrection from the grave is the most glorious event in the history of the world, but however, he was not the first to be raised from the dead. God had already raised others from the dead before he raised Jesus from the dead. Three times in the Old Testament, through the prophets Elijah and Elisha, God raised people from the dead. Three times by Jesus himself in the New Testament, the daughter of Jairus, Lazarus, and even on the way to Jerusalem to be crucified, a funeral procession came by, and it was the widow of Nain. Her son died, and Jesus touched that coffin, and he got up. I want to tell you, when Jesus went to the cross, he was already full of resurrection power, overflowing. He couldn't even hold it to himself on the way to the cross. He was full of resurrection power. What made the resurrection of Jesus glorious was not the fact that he awakened from the dead. What made his resurrection glorious was the fact of who he was and why he did it. I want to submit to you this morning, my church that I love dearly, this Easter morning, that as Jesus was the creator of life, as Jesus was the one that in the beginning by a simple spoken word created a living man from dead dust, I submit to you this morning that for Jesus, resurrecting from the grave was the easy part. The hard part was the dying. For Jesus, getting up out of that tomb, done it before, do it again. I'll do it right now in front. That was the easy part. I made you out of dead dirt. You think I can't get out of this grave? But for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come down from heaven, the creator of life, and die, that was the hard part. The hard part was the dying. And the same, my beloved church, holds true for you and I today. The easy part is being raised with him. That's his part. The hard part is the dying for him. That's our part. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 24, if anyone desires to come after me, he says, come, I'm the way, but if you desire to come out after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He said, I'm going to do the easy part, the resurrected, but there's a part that you have to do, the dying. And I'm going to show you the way. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4, chapter verse 1, he said, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Come on, Peter's talking about dying. He's talking about the hard part that we have to do first. In 2 Timothy 2:11, Timothy said, this is a faithful saying, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Jesus said it. Peter said it. Timothy said it. The entire word of God says that if there is no death with him, there is no resurrection with him. Lord, open the ears of your people to hear what the word says this morning. Because so much of the church today, so much that I hear, especially in the Western church, says this, have the resurrected life with Jesus, not much death required. That's the word out there today that you hear over and over and over, and I hear over and over and over. Resurrected life is all yours, but Jesus is the only one who has to do the dying. Jesus made a way when there was no way. And trust me, there was no way. He made a way to life, an abundant life now and forever. He made a way for me and you to have the resurrected life in him. But the first step that must be taken before the resurrection, there must be death. There must be a death of self. The world preaches, live first, life first, then you die. Jesus came and showed us, first you die, then you live the life. You can pretty much take anything the world says to you and do a 180 and flip it and trust that that probably is the word of God. This Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of our King. But I believe too many people come to celebrate the resurrection without discernment concerning the way to resurrection. That's why churches are crowded on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, but they're not crowded at all on Friday, the day of dying. Come on, I want to shift that. I mean, even next year in this church, I really want to see as many of us here on the day of dying as a day of resurrection. So since some of us miss it, I want to jump back a little bit. And I'm going to begin this word on the day of dying. And for a moment, I want to jump back 3 days, no, 4 days from today when it was time to die. When it was time for him to die to show us the way. And in Matthew 26, 36 through 39, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. I want to tell you that for Jesus, the dying was the hard part. He said, stay here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, if it is in any way possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." For Jesus, I submit to you today that the resurrecting was the easy part. Crucifixion is one of the forms of Roman capital punishment. And according to both historians and medical experts, it's considered to be the most painful and humiliating form of execution ever conceived by man, even up until today. Even then, it was only allowed on non-citizens of Rome, only allowed on foreigners and slaves. Because first the prisoner would be scourged. In other words, most of you know, that means it's not just a flogging. It's like a skin is torn away from the body in strips by a special type of whip. You're paraded through the city, and the Romans were experts. They knew how to do it without cutting in the arteries so you wouldn't die. And then the condemned prisoner was literally paraded through the streets of the city, and a sign would be written with whatever crime that prisoner committed would either be hung around his neck or held before him, and they're paraded through town, and written on the sign that was held before Jesus or around his neck in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew said, "This is the King of the Jews." Then at the execution site, the prisoner would be stripped totally naked, totally, being male or female, and staked by nails to a wooden cross driven through the hands and lower ankles. Likely it would be an old, rugged, reused cross because wood was scarce in that day in Jerusalem. But also, they would only be, you know, we always see these movies high and lifted up. No, it was low. This was the Roman way. The feet would only be a few inches off the ground so that friends and relatives and mockers could come and talk to them face to face as they suffered on the cross. They could not help them or they would be under punishment. But this is how they could hear and remember the last words, even the last words of Jesus on the cross recorded in the word, from "Father, forgive them," to "It is finished." I hope some of you go with us to Jerusalem coming up. Because if you've been to the places in Jerusalem, and if you've listened carefully to the historians and looked at the research, and I have three times now, you can go to the high priest Caiaphas' house. You can go in and you can see that dungeon below the house. You can see the actual hole or cell where Jesus was lowered that first night. You can go into that dungeon where there's just tethers along the wall and one hole in the ground for vinegar and another for salt, and this long bench where each prisoner will be flogged while the other prisoners are watched. It wasn't like our prisons today. Back then, when you went to jail, you didn't come back again. And you can go, as I did, to the Praetorian's palace, to their housing where Jesus was judged and scourged and flogged. And you can walk down below and you can go to that actual place where he was seated and his blood was shed on the floor, and that game of kings still etched into the concrete below him. And I remember the first time I fell to the floor, I couldn't get up, and the group left, and my wife had to come back and get me. That was the place where my Savior's blood was shed. And down the Via Dolorosa, a long walk, where he's paraded through the streets and on to Golgotha, the place of the skull. If you've done the research, you'll know that Jesus' death, see, the hard part was the dying. His death of his crucifixion was not quite as it was portrayed by most artist renditions. There was no courtesy cloth wrapped around his loins to protect his last line of dignity. You see, we all have a human tendency now and then to take what was unsightly and repulsive and portray it as somehow just a little bit prettier and a little bit more palatable. But I think because we do that in Western religion, it causes us sometimes not to appreciate what he did for your sin and my sin. But I will make no such pretense today. Not in this desperate hour for the church and for the people of God. Put that picture up if you have it. Where is that? Can you see the face of a skull right there? That is in Jerusalem. That is the place of the skull. Not high on a hill, that there will be a road down by the trees below. And Jesus was led out. You can go there. We'll go there. Jesus was led out with two other prisoners, one on the right, run on the left by him, that were crucified by him. But also that day, the street would have been lined with every death sentence prisoner. Traditionally, the executions were delayed until Passover. They were held until Passover weekend. And they were staked right on the roadside, right on a dirty, dusty road. This is where Jesus would have been crucified. Not high up on a nice, pretty hill. A roadside Roman warning sign to discourage any rebellion or any uprising, as hundreds of thousands of people will be coming through that way into the city for the great feast of Passover. And this is a Roman warning. Don't start no stuff, because this is what will happen to you. The Bible says he was numbered among the transgressors. Golgotha. It was like a stretch of road that as parents came with children, they would put their cloaks over their heads and hold their ears as they passed by. Our Savior. Jesus on the cross. The resurrection for him was the easy part. The hard part, children of God, was the dying. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And as it is for those that desire to follow him, to be where he is, the easy part is to be raised with him. The hard part is the dying. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, my children of God, no death to the old man, there's no birth of the new man. They both cannot live together. We try. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Pick up your cross and follow me to the resurrection. But we got to go this way. Don't forget your cross. And now, discerning his death, prayerfully we can rightly see the glory of Easter, of Resurrection Day. In Matthew 28, 1 through 10, it says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Hallelujah. He came to show us the way. He came to save us. Some may have the question this morning, saved from what? Saved from what? Something to save me from hell. Yes, that's true, but there's a little bit more to it. I want to share with you this morning, I came to bring you the full news, the full gospel, that this world has a death sentence on it. I'll say it again. This world has a death sentence on it. All these worldly things that we're wrapped up in, all the media, all the entertainment, all the politics that does not love Jesus has a death sentence on it. It was a death sentence that was pronounced at the fall in the garden, yet it was a sentence delayed for one reason only, and just one reason the sentence has not been executed yet is that the love of Jesus has for man that he created. The only reason. Yeah, we have signs and patterns throughout the Bible, if we have discerning minds and discerning eyes to see Noah and the ark, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Red Sea crossing, Israel in the wilderness, the witness of Christ. Throughout the Bible, God drops these little reminders, this world has a death sentence, but I will have a remnant reminder. Throughout the Bible, God reveals the principle of the saved remnant with the remaining destroyed. An appeal from God to believe and take the way out that God has provided. That is the grace of God. Hebrews 3, 1, 12 through 14 says, Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, why it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah? Jesus will have a remnant. The only question in the word is, who will be among the remaining faithful? Oh, somebody said, I didn't come for this on Easter morning. You know what? You get to a point and seeing this word unfolding and seeing time near, that we don't have time to waste. People are going to hell while we're talking about Easter bunnies. Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, Behold, I am coming quickly. This is Jesus. Behold, I'm coming quickly. This is after the crucifixion. This is after the resurrection. This is after the ascension. This is some of the last words in the word of God. He said, Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then the angel spoke, then he said, I'm the witness, the angel speaking in 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And I don't care what your political party is. And in verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to you and me. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride, that's the Spirit of God and the true people of God say, come. I stand here and appeal to you, come. Take the way. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The resurrection is the easy part. The dying is the hard part. I want to appeal to you today, church. If you have not already, take the way out. The way out of condemnation. The way out of destruction. Follow Jesus. Follow him all the way. Don't skip a step. You can't skip a step. The resurrected life is here for you today, but first must be the death. Come on, worship team. Malachi said in some of the last prophetic utterance out of the New Testament before Jesus came, and he said, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. He said, they shall be mine. They shall be mine. I love them. This is why Jesus did this. This is why that death sentence on the world has not been executed. He said, they shall be mine. That's how determined that God is for you and is for me, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. You will be able to discern between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. There must be a difference, church. There must be a difference. But there's something going on in this world today. You see, we have an enemy. And Paul wrote about him in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he said, the God of this age, there are gods of this age. There are gods of politics. There are gods of religion. There are gods of higher education. And the most powerful God that you will ever face, small g, is the one that you see in the mirror. The God of self. He said, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The most blinding light for me that would keep me from seeing the glory of Christ is when I look in the mirror and think I'm somehow better. That I somehow deserve this. That I am somehow entitled to heaven because I can preach this word. When the Bible says that all my acts of righteousness, all my preaching is as filthy rags before a holy God. And Paul said there is none not righteous, not even one. The resurrecting was the easy part. The hard part was dying for the depth of our sins. But as Pastor Simpson said last week, he said, and he travels around the world. He said, you know what? I see too much on the world. I see atheist Christians. I see too many Christians that don't believe the words of the God they profess. That their Bibles are literally, and I put it, the Bibles are really, if you open them up, you won't see it, but they are blotted out words of God. Blotted out so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. Blinded eyes so that they cannot see the way. Take the way. Take the way. He made a way. The Titanic is going down. I don't care how glorious it looked. It was the biggest and best. It's going down. Take the way. Thank you. make the way. Just going to ask if there's anyone in this room, and today is the day you say, I'm going to take the way. I want to take the way out. I want to take the way. I want to follow him. I'm not going to stand here and lie. It's the biggest, the most glorious, the most important decision you ever made, but it is one of the hardest ones you've ever made. Because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost yourself. I read a book, and it's a great book. I won't mention it today, but it said the way to destruction is like a stroll down a nice shady hill, but the way to the Lord is like climbing a ladder. Climb is easy to go down. Climb. But if you're here today and you want to give your life to the Lord for the first time or recommit, just wave your hand at me. Just wave your hand. Just wave your hand if you're here today. I see that hand, young man. Come on, wave them high and proud. Just hold them up high and proud. It's all right. I see that hand, my sister. Are you raising your hand? Come on. Yes, come on. Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. There's got to be more than one in here. My goodness, Lord, loosen the grip. Unblind the eyes. Stand. Sister, you mind coming down front just as an example? You mind just come on, just boldly, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, let's bring somebody with one of your sisters go there right now. And if anybody else wants to come, just come down. I'm going to leave it open a minute. Anybody else want to join her right now? Come on, take the way out this morning. Take the way out. Second call I want to make. Come on, brother. Come on. Come on. Somebody get with this young man. Come on. Take the way out. Take the way out. Take the way out. Take the way out. The easy part is being raised with them. The hard part is to die. And I want to make another call. But this young man, you coming forward? Come on, come on, come on. It's all right. Come on, let's go. Come on. Take the way out. Take the way out. Come on, we need some prayer people up there. Take the way out. Come on. Take the way out. Take the way out. Take the way out. Come on, let's have somebody with these people. Come on, saints. Prayer team, come on. We're all going to pray together in a minute. Just come on, just be with them. But we don't do nothing alone around here. Here's the second call I want to make. I remember years ago. Come on, young lady. Come on. Come on. Never see God. Never see God. Take the way out. Come on, my sister. Come on. Come on. There's a way out. Come on. Come on with it. Come on. Bring on up. Come on. I remember when I took the way out. And I had this revelation of the necessary death. And you're talking to a man that at that time had been struggling with every single day drug uses for 20 years. Yet had been walking with the Lord for a few years in this church, in the closet, drugging. And I hated it. You see, when Jesus received that death sentence, there was a walk, there was a parading that had to take place. I remember for 5 years I had to declare a death sentence on that sin in me, but it wouldn't die. It was a death sentence, but it wouldn't die. I kept going, a death sentence. I declared it over and over. I had to scourge my flesh, a death sentence over and over. And I had to walk my own sin down that long road to Calvary. It was a 5-year walk until I finally gave up enough and I nailed it to the cross. and it's dead. It's dead. And I know some of you may have that same walk this morning, that nagging thing, that attitude, that habit. You know what? You declared a death sentence for some reason, not yet has it died. If that's you this morning, I believe the day is the day of nailing it to the cross. If that's you, wave your hand at me. You know it's just time for it to die. It's time for it to die. Come on, no shame in this game. It's time for it to die. There's too much at stake. And if that's you, I want you to run to these altars too. We're going to pray. Just run. Just come on. I don't care what you're doing. I saw you, usher. If that's you, come on up here. Come on up here. Everybody, come on up here. If that's you, you know, it's time for it to die. I mean, sometimes you just got to put a nail in it. Because to die, that was the hard part. That was the hard part. That was the hard part. Putting myself, my lust, my sin, my one foot in the world and one foot alive in the world, the other one dead. And getting, no, put it to death. Put it to death.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.